Bokerto world. Today's daf in the Sefer Shavuot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Vav, and we're holding right near the top of the daf. Omar Reb Yirmiyah Bar Abba. We're continuing on now with our discussion of the two particular types of situations which may lead us to believe a sachir. So remember, the classic situation was the sachir who claims he wasn't paid. But then we got into this other question. What about if the Sakhir claims that he was promised a salary of, let's say, $5 an hour, and the employer claims it was $4 an hour? What about that? Would that also be something that he could swear about, or is that a different issue? Now, up to now, we saw that there was a deshitas that we saw, was that these are two entirely different things. Why? Because the basis of the takana for the sahir swearing against the balabayit and being believed to take, remember, these were the shvuot anot lim. This was the first one we've been getting into. We still got a lot to go. But the reason for that was that we understand that the balabayit is torud bepoalav, and that therefore, maybe he got confused. Masha'in came, when it comes to Kitsitsa, the question of remembering what was the agreement, people are generally pretty clear about how they had fought out the position that they wanted to hold and didn't forget what they told the guy. And because of that, we saw until now there was a swara to be machalic between them, and that when it comes to Kitsitsa, that is a different situation. Now, today we're getting into the details, because remember that the question of the Kitsitsa, first of all, we have to decide, what was the situation? Were they arguing now about whether he owes more, but he had already paid the basic amount, in which case he would be considered to be a kofer bakol, because he's saying, I don't owe you anymore. This is what I agreed to pay you, and I already paid you. Or are we talking about, he is saying, I agreed to pay you. I haven't paid you yet, but I only agreed to pay you, let's say, I owe you $100, and you're claiming I owe you $200, in which case he would be a classic mitzvah. So, I mean, the question is, this absolutely represents two completely different issues. I mean, if he's a mitzvah, so then it's possible that we take that shvuah d'oraisa, give it over into the sachir, for whatever reason, which we'd have to consider what possibility would be. And in that case, he would become a notel, so that instead of having the employer swear he didn't owe him any more than what he's claiming, we'd have the sachir claim that he does owe me more, and he would take, for whatever reason that we are ma'amin the sachir. We saw a number of those complex issues yesterday, as Shmuel had pointed out, that these are shvuot kivuot, and that they are takonot kivuot. They're meant to be a way in which society can work itself better over the long term, even if, meanwhile, people are taking a loss they shouldn't have to take. So we went through all of the various tzadim to understand how we arrived at that kind of situation. Mashen came over here. It's all right. It's possible that this is a reversal of the shvuah d'oraisa, so we give it over to the sachir. On the other hand, it may be talking about a case where the guy was a kofer bakol, and in that case, it isn't clear. If he is a kofer bakol, does he still have to swear? Do we take the shvuah and give it to somebody else to swear? And that is what we want to find out today. We didn't discuss this yet. We just discussed the general idea. So today we're at Omer Reb Yirmiyah Bar Abba, right near the top. So those Talmidim, after the death of Rav, that were learning still in the yeshiva of Rav, remember that Reb Yehuda went to learn by Shmuel afterwards, and they sent a message asking Shmuel, Yelamdenu Rabbeinu, how about in a situation where we've got an argument about a washing machine repairman? So the repairman claims that the agreed-upon price was Shtayim Katzatz. It was supposed to be a $200 repair. And the Balabayit says, no, we agreed it was a $100 repair. So who exactly is supposed to swear? Now, I mean, this is a very strange kind of question. Who exactly is supposed to swear? I mean, maybe nobody is supposed to swear. I mean, we haven't determined, are we talking about a motive that makes sense? We talk about a kofer bakol. If we're talking about a kofer bakol, is there really a need to swear? When we say who needs to swear, do we mean who needs to swear our new takanas shvuas? Or are we saying who needs to swear the shvuas heset that we had learned from Reb Nachman? Whoa, Very, very confusing sugya. And in fact, there are two very different approaches to how to understand the Gemara. Why are we taking for granted that there is a Shvuah year at all? Most of the Rishonim actually learn like the Rimi Gash. The Rimi Gash says that, look, we're talking about over here the case where there was no chiyuv of avodah b'mikvah. In other words, he said, listen, we agreed on $100. I gave you the $100. And now you want more money. I don't owe you anything at all. So that would be a kofar bakol. And afal pikein, we thought that maybe do we say that in this case, the rabbanim were still metakein, that the guy feels he wasn't paid. So this is like a same thing as the poeli thought who wasn't paid. Or maybe since over here, we're talking about kitzitza, we're talking about the amount. So maybe here we just have a typical Shvuas Chesed. Maybe he potters himself by saying, I already paid you and I don't owe you any more. That's the way most Rishonim learn. However, there's the Tosas has a very different approach. And his idea is that over here we are talking about a motive of mixas. And the question in the Gemara is, in this event, do we talk about a flipping of the chiyuv that would have been the chiyuv of the araisa on the employer? And he didn't say, I paid you. He's just arguing about how much I have to pay you. Was it a $200 repair bill or a $100 repair bill? And that our question nonetheless is that since the Rabbonim were betakem v'shvuat hanotlim, perhaps even a case where they're arguing about the amounts is included in the shvuat hanotlim, and we take the shvuah away from the ability of the employer to deny with the shvuah that I owe you, and we give it to the sakhir, and he can insist with the shvuah to be no to the money that he claims is doing. So two different approaches as to the precise nature of the question. So Amar Lahem, so Shmuel answered that. Shmuel said to them, in this particular case, it's the person who had to pay the repair bill. He's the one that should be Shavaba Ala Bayit, and he should make his Shvuah, whatever it is. According to Tosfos, it was the classic money of the Mikzas. According to the Rimi Gash, it was a basically boils down to the equivalent of a Shvuah. And Yafsida Uman, the repairman loses. Why? Because as we said yesterday, Kitzitza Vadai Mikar Dichrei Inche. People do remember when they make an agreement of how much they were supposed to pay for this. And that's not the same as the situation where we're worried that the Baal HaBayit really isn't quite certain, doesn't really know what he said exactly. And that's why we gave it to the Poel, which is not the case here. Now, the question is Shmuel correct? Because based on a braita that Rabbi Shmuel had brought this braita and said, what seems to be this case, katsatz. Now, the question is, on a situation of kitsitsa, what would be the din in the kitsitsa? Well, the halacha is, hamotzi michaveiro alav harayah. Now, that seems to be saying, well, we'll see, we're going to work out the whole thing, but it seems to be saying, yilo maisi raya, paka. If he can't bring a raya, that's it. There's no, he's not talking about, having to make a shvuah at all. So if that's the case, he's claiming he already paid. Obviously, he can't be talking about a case of motive of mikzas because then he'd have to swerve in your eyes. That's not the issue. But over here, he says, I already paid what we agreed. Now you want more money and I don't owe you that more money. And therefore you want to make me pay more money. Bring a raya. So bring Aiden. Fine. So this seems to be saying that there's absolutely no chiyuv in the case of the Katzitza. Now, according to Shmuel says somebody's got to swear always. Says the Baal HaBayit is going to have to swear. He's going to have to swear, then that's not a Motzi Bechaveiro L'Varaya. Motzi Bechaveiro L'Varaya is basically a dismissal of your claim. Look, either bring a proof or go home. Ashenkin, over here, we're going to make the guy swear. So, Amai, Yishava Baal HaBayit, we should say what Shmuel said. Shmuel said, in the event that he denies owing any more money, so then the Baal HaBayit has to pay, and the Oman loses out. How does Shmuel understand the Braita? Reb Nachman, now wait a minute. You're the one who jumped to conclusions, okay? All that the Braita said was that, but that could be a one side of the situation. I mean, you said that implies, but maybe it doesn't imply. Maybe it's dadim meaning you want to collect hamotzi olav. That doesn't imply that if not, that nothing else needs done. There's another side to it. If he doesn't have araya, it doesn't say that he doesn't have to swear. Maybe he does have to swear. So you can't use the implication to say that that's just because usually a motzi we would dismiss. That's not the case over here. He does have to take a shvuah that he doesn't owe him anything. Well, what about this braita? Meitzvah. How is Shmuel going to learn the following braita? Here is the equivalent case of the washing machine. In this case, the guy is bringing in his talit for a repair. So the guy brings in his talit, anoten talitolo oman, is bringing in his talit, maybe it's to a dry cleaner. Anyway, so the dry cleaner says, listen, this was a $20 bill. And the other one says, no, it was only 10. I mean, where'd you get 20 from? So now this bright introduces a new issue. So as long as the dry cleaner hasn't given you back the talit, then the Baal HaBayit is the one who's motzi, and he wants to pay only $10. He has to prove that this guy's bequeathed to give him back his talit for less. But if he already gave him back the talit, and now we're arguing about how much is owed, netanalo, so then if it was bismanos, this difference we saw before, that basically the time in which you are supposed to be paid is the onah after the time that you finish the job. So whatever that was, then if it's still due midiraisa and you haven't yet been over the time, so then he's nishba yinotel. He swears, this is what you owed me, and he takes it. That's the case. Same din that we would have said about the Sefer who claims he wasn't paid. This is telling us that Kitzitza has the same halacha. But if it was Ovar Zmano, then it comes under Hamotzi Mechavero of Araya, because we no longer remember after that time. We no longer have the Takana, because we said yesterday that generally by the end of the time, we have also have the Chazaka that a person doesn't come to be over on an Isur D'oraisa. Okay, but look what it does say. When you do swear, bizmano, you're a nishba v'notel. Now, why is he a nishba v'notel? Shmuel said that when we're talking about over here, a machlokas about kitzitza, this is a classic machlokas about kitzitza. How much was the agreement to pay the dry cleaner? Shmuel said, yishavah ba'al ha'bayit v'yafsid ha'oman. So how come over here we're saying that the Oman is able to swear? Omer Nachum Bar Yitzchak, look, there's no question. Shmuel can't learn this as coming under his psak. However, there happens to be a machlokas tanoim, and Shmuel was basically not talking over here about Rabbi Yehuda. This is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, as I'm going to show you. Rabbi Yehuda says that wherever and whenever, whether it's ketzitza, or whether it's a question of whether there was payment at all or not, in either event, Rabbi Yehuda holds kol zman sheshvua nota etzav ba'al habayit. In any case, where there would have been a chiyuv on the ba'al habayit to swear, so that would mean even a case of motive b'miksas. We took that shvua that he could have used to pater himself from having to pay the sechir, and we gave it to the Zakhir as a Shvuat HaNotlin, and the Zakhir instead is Nishba, and he is Notel. Okay, so that's Reb Yehuda Shita. And here, he basically was made of a Miksas. He said, was a $10 cleaning bill, and then the other guy says it's a $20 cleaning bill. He's allowed as the Zakhir, as the one who does the cleaning, he's the Zakhir. But that's Reb Yehuda. The Chachamim don't agree to that. The Chachamim hold if the question is about Kitzitza, question is about the amount of the agreed payment, then it's basically the person who is usually the employer, in this case, the customer. He's the one who can pater himself with the Shvuah. And that's what Shmuel said, that in Kitzitza, the Oman will be Mafsid. He was going like all the Rabbanan, not like Rabbi Yehuda. This is a fascinating answer, but I never saw. Which Rabbi Yehuda are you talking about? Not familiar with the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. I mean, it can't be Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. I mean, that's crazy. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah would be tending in the very opposite direction. So, hi, Rabbi Yehuda. Who are you talking about? Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah? Where he says that once we're talking about a case where the Balabayit, remember, Rabbi Yehuda says the only time that we have this din of Sechar is where you have a motive of Mikzas. In the event that he made a motive of Mikzas, we take the Chiyuv that was Chal on him, and instead we give it over to the Sechir. But, I mean, over there, Rabbi Yehuda is dafka more machmir than the Rabbanan are, because take a look at the Mishnah, the Tzad. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, this din that a Sochir is able to be Nishba Venotel was only said Achitehisham Mikzat Hoda'ah, was only said in a case where there was a motive of Mikzas. But if it were a case of Kofra Bakol, then Rabbi Yehuda would hold that you could still pater yourself by saying, I never owed you a penny anymore. And therefore, that would mean that Rabbi Yehuda is dafka, the one who makes it much more difficult for the Sakhir to go ahead and make a shvua and take it. So on the Chachamim were the ones who were saying, no, even in a case where there isn't a motive of mikzvah, we still give it over to him to collect, even if there was no chalos of a shvua d'oraisa at all. It's not a question, merely a flipping over an extant chiyuv of a shvua. So then, I mean, that would mean that in this case, Rabbi Yehuda should be, again, more machmir on the Sochir, not less machmir. And here you're telling me that it's going a libra Rabbi Yehuda? That doesn't make any sense. So if the question would be also about Ketzitza, so if the Rabbanan are saying, no, about Ketzitza, we don't give the Sochir the right. You're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda, who is more machmir, he's the one who says, no, we always give the Sochir the right. That makes no sense. So it can't be implications of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. So where did you find a Rabbi Yehuda that said that? Well, we had the Braita. It's the Rabbi Yehuda in the Braita, the Tanya, which just said it. Sachir, kol zman shelo avar alav zmano, arei zeh nishba v'notel. So in the event that it's not past the time, so there he's able to be nishba, and he takes it. But if he waited longer than that, in love, in a nishba v'notel, that was the Tanakama. And Rabbi Yehuda said that when is that true? Only when he said, Tein li schari chamishim dinar sheyesh li biyadcha. And the other guy, the employer of this sefer, says to him, you already got a dinar zahav, which is half of it. That's 25 dinar kesef. Or in a case, here's the case. In a case of ketzitza, oh, the Po'el, the Sakhir, says, you agreed to pay me 2 sela an hour. Ela. So since in either of these cases, consistent with Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, but if there is a mate of the Mikzas, that then the Sakhir can swear, here too, the Sakhir can swear. Only in the case where Avala Omar Lo, I never ever made a deal with you. I never hired you. I don't know who you are. Or if he said, yes, I had hired you. That, of course, is reflective of the din of the Migo that we spoke about yesterday, where he's able to deny the whole thing. Or where he said to him, yes, but I've already paid you what we've agreed. So then I'm Otsimechavarayah. So over here, Rabbi Yehuda said, Beferish, oh, a case of Ketzitza, Elachat. So we see from here that Enochinami, with Fitzamachok is about Ketzitza, as long as it's consistent with Rabbi Yehuda's din of a motive of Mikzas, it could be a motive of Mikzas of a Ketzitza as well. So then that means that indeed Rabbi Yehuda holds that even the Gabi Ketzitza, the Sofer, gets the right to be Nishba. So it's clear that Rabbi Shmuel isn't supposed to work out according to that. He never claimed I'm going to work out. He said, Beferish, I'm going according to the idea that when it comes to Ketzitza, certainly the Balabayit knows what he was kotzitz, and that's not part of the takana of someone who never received the salary. Batkit for Rav Shisha, Breda of eating. I'm not sure. I see very clearly that this is Reb Yehuda. I don't see very clearly that there is a Rabbana that argue with Reb Yehuda. Because, I mean, that's not necessarily true based on this Braita. I mean, maybe our whole assumption that this Ketzitza is different is wrong. And the question against Shmuel stands. Maybe nobody holds that Ketzitza is different. You're telling me that what it says over here in the Braita, the Katsatz, that's only true according to Reb Yehuda. That's what you're saying. It's not true according to Rabbana. Does that really make sense? I mean, shouldn't we say the other way around? If we know that Reb Yehuda, who is the one that's machmir in our Mishnah, this is the only time that a Socher is given rights to Shvuah, is where there was a Hadar b'Miksas. So if even Reb Yehuda, who's the one who makes it very tough for a Sachir to be able to swear and to be notel, even he says that, look, when it comes to Ketzitza, he can swear and be notel. So then shouldn't I say, well, then obviously the Rabbanan, who generally hold it's easier for a Socher to be Nishba v'notel, so for sure they would be motivated by Ketzitza. What makes you so sure that there is such a shita as Rabbanan that Shmuel was saying is the halacha that for Ketzitza, the din is that the other one swears? So if I, let me see that inside. Hashta, if you're ready to learn in the Braita that even in a case where Rabbi Yehuda generally is more machmir, that is a case where it wasn't a motive of mixups, the Rabbanan are makil, and they say a socher can even swear on a kofar bakol. Hey, the makil, Rabbi Yehuda, you're telling me that in a case over here of Ketzitza, where Rabbi Yehuda allows the socher to swear and to collect, you're telling me that the Rabbanan are more machmir? Does that make sense? So maybe there's no sechita. So that I understand. What are you saying? Say, LMI, what would you say? That this is going according to the Rabbanan? So then what about the Braita we had before? We just quoted you a Braita. Hadatani Rabba Bar Shmuel. We just said that Braita, for heaven's sakes. Right at the bottom of the daf. We said, Kotzatz, Hamotzi Mikhaveiro Olavaraya. You made such a big fuss of that Braita yesterday. It's interesting that now you managed to forget it. There's obviously somebody who says, Katsatsa. Now, who is that? Nobody? You're saying it's not Rabbi Yehuda, and it's not the Rabbanan. It's not we're going to introduce a new Shita that we never saw before? I mean, obviously, we have the Machlokas in the Mishnah. We have no choice but to say, if it says, Katsatsa, money. Lord Rabbi Yehuda, Lord Rabbanan. I mean, if you're telling me that the Rabbanan don't agree with Rabbi Yehuda, then this makes sense. This is the Braita, that's the Shita of the Rabbanan in the Mishnah. Now, okay, I understand you've got a problem. Basically, the problem that you're raising is that we seem to have a reversal of Sfaras, right? Because Reb Yehuda says, I hold you're only going to give a Sachir in a case where there's Hoytov b'miksa. So I'm very machmir about the Sachir's ability to be Nishba v'notel. Menach ML, are you Chas v'Sholem falling asleep? Menach ML, my dearest, hello. So, good to have you back. So, if you're asking, it's a contradiction. If the Rabbanan, who holds that a socher can be nishba, even in a kofar bakol, they nonetheless hold that when it comes to a ketzitza, he cannot be nishba. So, how does it make sense for Rabbi Yehuda, who is the one who is machmer and says the only time that a socher can be nishba v'notel is in a case where it was a motive b'miksas on the point of the employer? How would he make it so easy for the socher to be nishba even in a case of ketzitza, right? That's what's bothering you. All right, so then what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to penetrate a little more deeply into the logic behind the shitas in order to figure out why you could hold exactly that way, and it's not a contradiction. I'll tell you what the point is. Ella Amar Rava, look. There's different issues that are at stake over here, all right? Reb Yehuda is saying that in a case where there is an extant shvuah, where is that? In a deoraisa. Namely, I mean, the only deoraisa that we have in these cases is where he's a motive and makes sense. So where the Shvuah exists, The Rabbanan Avdu Leitakanta Lesachir. So then we make a takana and we say, look, let's take that shvua and give it to the Sachir to make as a notel instead of allowing the employer to make the shvua as a yikach velo yishalem, which would be the diaraisa, right? Why did we do that? Because we said on the, whatever, the whole argument yesterday, he doesn't really know, and the Sachir knows, and so on and so forth. Fine. Masha Inkin, where we're talking about a drabonon, says Rabbi Yehuda, think about this. What would be the situation if the guy was kofer bakol? What's his chiyuv? His chiyuv is what a shvua says. So what are we going to do now? We're going to say, take the drabonon, which was a chiddush that bechlal there's a shvua, correct? Okay, so we made a takana. Take that drabonon. And now make a takana to take the takana and give it to the other guy. We don't make takanas for takanas. That's already ridiculous. It's not as if we had worked this whole thing through that it should follow exactly that logic at all. Takanta lo takanta lo avninan. This is a very clear cut svar. It has absolutely nothing to do with katsitsa. You know, it's, you oversimplify and you make it a question. You sound like one of these conservative rabbis. Well, you know, Hillel has a very liberal kind of approach. And like, what does it have to do with liberal approach? The point over here is we're arguing about a simple question of whether we will make a takanta in a situation in which is essentially a takanta with takanta, and therefore there's no such thing. Fine. Masha Inkin, the Rabbanan hold. Even with the Rabbanan nami abdina takanta l'sachir. This is idea. Why are you calling it a takanta with takanta? It's not a takanta with takanta. There was one takana that covers all shvuas. That takana is chal, whether there is a chiyav to make a shvua d'oraisa, there's no chiyav to make a shvua d'oraisa. It doesn't have to be being mahaperch the shvua of the, obviously, or it wouldn't be in the Mishnah at all, because that shvua didn't exist in the Mishnah. So is that a function of simply reversing an extant shvua? The Rabbanan said we made one takana giving a socher the right to be trinishba v'notel if it's in the case where there is an extant shvua, so then we'll reverse the extant shvua, give it to the sofer. If we need to create the mechanism for his shvua, fine, we'll create the mechanism. Why are you calling that a takanta le takanta? So that's the machlokus over here about actually what the mechanism is. Is it a getter of mahapech shvua, or is this a new takana of the shvayim v'naitli? Very reasonable way to understand both approaches, okay? What does that have to do with Ketzitza? Now let's move on to Ketzitza, right? When it comes to Ketzitza, the Rabbanan say, yeah, but that has nothing to do with the fact that in a case of Ketzitza, we don't need to make a takana giving anything to a Sochir because we believe that Ketzitza mit Kadakir. So we hold that by Ketzitza, it's the norm to know what you're doing. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, listen, the idea of providing a worker his option to be more clear because of the fact that he is more dependent and all of the other issues that we raised yesterday. So like we started off saying he needs the money, which obviously doesn't just mean because he needs the money, but that means that his memory is more likely to be trustworthy. That's true about Katsitsa too. And I don't say Katsitsa, definitely he'll remember. There's going to be a difference between the employer and the employee. Very simple. So these two machlokasin really are completely disconnected. I don't know why you're so upset about wondering why they would hold this way. Why wouldn't they hold this way? Now let's move on. So that finishes the first case in the Mishnah. First case of the Mishnah was a sakhir. The next case. The next case in the Mishnah was, we said, a nigzal. Okay, what does that mean? Like, if there's been a robbery in a home, we know who the robber is. So what? You could put in any claim you want. How exactly does that work? Ketza. Well, you may eat him atosh nechvas lebeito lemashkeno. So somebody says, look, I'm going in. This guy owes me a lot of money. I'm going in to take a mashkan. He has no right to do that. He doesn't have a court order. The guy didn't allow him in the house. Basically, for all intents and purposes, he's a ganim, right? All right. So he's going into this guy's house. And what? That this person can say, well, he went into my house and he took things. I mean, just because the guy says he's going to steal from him, so therefore he stole from him. You can't, just because a person makes a threat, that doesn't mean you can now hold him responsible for the threat. Maybe he didn't take anything from him at all. I mean, we have a case like that, that we actually remember. We had the case where Reb Nachman said there's somebody who's holding this axe, right? And he's furious. And he's got this running feud with this guy who's got a tree that is blocking his view. And he says, I'm going to knock that tree down once and for all. He takes his axe and he marches out. The next morning, we find out that actually the tree was murdered overnight. They're cut over shoddy. There it is lying on the ground in its blood. So even though he said he's going to, that doesn't mean that he did it. Lo amrin hu katle, that doesn't give us a right if we never saw it. We have no witnesses. We have no reason to believe that this guy does not have a cheskes kashrus, that he doesn't go around chopping down other people's trees. Obviously, if he does have a record like that, so then enoch dinami. Tosfos says over there that we do believe him. And if he said that he's going to develop a nuclear weapon and he's going to destroy them, there's a sort of history of people who do those kind of things to Jews to be taken seriously. Okay, so this guy we believe, but a person with a cheskes kashrus, we wouldn't believe. So Alma, Avin Inish de Gazim Velo Avin, which was the poor mistake of people who believed that we were exaggerating. Okay, great. So that's exactly the din. We have no basis to assume he was just exaggerating, to scare the guy. So maybe Alkanami goes in below of it. He wanted the guy to give him a mashke. I'm just going to go in and take what I want.
Isn't it interesting that cutting down the tree is gizima and gazim is an exaggeration?
Sorry?
Gazim is
also... Yes. Good. A beautiful Barnea deal. Beautiful. Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. That brain just keeps churning away, let me tell you. So maybe he didn't. Says, well, okay, the Mishnah didn't mean that. The Mishnah, what it meant was he was Mishkeno, not that he was going to be Mamashkeno, meaning we have Edim. The Edim saw him taking things from the guy's house. I understand. I mean, if the Edim saw him, so why don't we ask the Edim to say, give us a list of whatever the guy walked off with? How can he just make a list of claims and then collect? Omar Rabba Barbachana Rabbi Yochanan. Look, the point is like this. The Edim saw the guy taking things and putting them beneath his jacket. All right? They don't know exactly what it was. They see him walking out with a big bunch of stuff underneath. He looks like a chassid that just got onto an airplane carrying 400 extra pounds of luggage underneath his coat. And they're saying that he definitely walked out with something over there. And therefore we say, okay, we don't know what it was. So you can make a shvuah. This is like a knas, going to Rama. Somebody wants to take the din into his own hands and go against halacha without a court order. So we'll make it tough for him. And therefore he can be teyanei kelima nitolim tachas kanafav, and he can say, this is what he took out of my house. Omer Rav Yehuda, ra'u she'itmin kelim tachat kanafav v'yatsa. I suppose they see this guy go into somebody's house, take things, put them underneath his clothing. They didn't get a good view of what those things were. They were watching through the window. He leaves the house. And then when he's confronted, he says, this, I bought all of those things from the guy. And the guy in the house says, you did not. We'll see later on. What he said was, is that I lent them to you. He, just because possession is usually 9/10 of the law, over here, this is the 1/10 that it isn't. Because since we saw him actually take it, we don't say that he is considered to be a muhzak, and that therefore let the other guy, the owner of the house, let him be the one who has to be Matzimich Avel of Araya. But this is only in a case where he's just a regular balabayit. He's not somebody that opens up his house once a week to sell his extra things, He's not a garage sale master or an eBay master. He's just a regular guy. And you see somebody walking out of the house of a regular guy, it does not make sense to say, I bought it. I mean, why would he have sold his things? But he was the kind of guy that does that type of thing. So then it's again, it's possession is 9/10 of the law. We tell much of a Levariah. And there's another thing. If he is a person who eino asulin korat kilav, he doesn't usually sell his things. There's another thing that's very suspicious over here, and that is that the guy is walking out like a classic silent movie villain. He's got his stuff under the thing, and the music is playing in the background. I mean, that looks very suspicious. And even a silent movie audience has figured out that this guy is a goner, right? Okay, so this is talking about type of things. Dvorim she'ein darkan lahatmin. I mean, why would he be hiding all of those things? Masha'inkin, dvorim she'darkan lahatmin. Masha'inkin, if he's walking out with a bunch of Playboy magazines from his yeshiva dorm room, then he does not look like a villain. He looks like a naughty yeshiva bacher. So in that case, we don't believe that he stole them. Furthermore, even in a case like that, she'ein darkan la'atminami, it's only what we're saying that then this is not something that you would hide. Why would you hide I don't know, a kitchen knife? Why would you hide a kitchen knife? But that's only lo amar lo inish delo tzaniyah. That's people, the type of people who usually are not necessarily careful about exposing themselves. People that don't like other people to know what they're doing in general. There are no shimpsinuim. What am I going to go walk out with what I bought? It's none of your darn business. And I will put it underneath my jacket, even though there's nothing about it that in any way is exciting to see. You never know what these voyeurs out there find exciting. I'm not going to show them anything. So an inish detznieh, hainu orche, a person that is a that doesn't like to be exposed, he doesn't expose his purchases. So it could still be a purchase. Why does he have to be a silent movies villain? Lo amran, this is only true in a case where the person also was claiming that he bought it, and the other one says that they were lent to you. But if he says you stole them from me, but you knew them, I didn't even lend them to you. You just walked into my house and walked out with them. There, we do not believe him. Why? He is not believed to say, a guy walked into my house and with such chutzpah walked out with my clothes. If you say, I lent it to you, now the guy sees he likes it, if he wants to keep it. Okay, that's different. And one additional thing. When we say that we don't believe this guy that he bought it, it's only where we're talking about things that it makes sense. These are things that are often just lent out to somebody. So you borrowed his lawnmower. That's something that's done. Something that is delicate, like a shechita knife, something that you would never lend out because you don't want the other person messing it up. There, he is Naaman that he bought them because we don't think that the other person would have lent it to him. The Sholach Rav Huna bar Ovi, Dvorim Asuyim Lahashil. He sent a meaning, it was really a tshuva, that Dvorim things that are normally rented, which somebody claims, I bought, he's not Naaman, because possession in such a case is not 9/10 of the law. Since what, I mean, you're telling me if I borrow a guy's lawnmower and I can claim it's my lawnmower, everybody knows it was the other guy's lawnmower, and everybody knows that people will lend their neighbor the lawnmower. Rava once happened that a parent died, a father died, and the children had in the rishus that they find in the rishus that their father, they find a pair of scissors, an expensive pair of scissors that belonged, used to belong to the neighbor. Where they find a sefer of Agadatas, they have a sefer of Midrash, and it was known to have belonged to a neighbor. And they say, well, I mean, we found it in our father's things, so maybe he bought it. Rava took it from the rishus without any raya because he considered the possession to be meaningless. And these were all things that were dvorim asuyim lehashil, based on that psak. I'm telling you that, says Rav Huna Bar Avin, the same thing would be true legabi possession in terms of somebody who claims ownership, backing it up with his possession. Okay, now getting back to this idea that's in the cases of Gneiva, that he can swear and collect whatever the guy is ostensibly had walked out with, is that only the person himself? And he says, listen, I know exactly what was in my house, and this was taken, and so on. Amar Rava, no. Anybody that's in a position to know precisely what was in the house before and what's not there now. So even a shomer can be nishba, because that's part of his job. As a matter of fact, the shomer may be more aware of what's in the house. And if the owner of the house is like, I don't really remember what's in the house, the shomer can take that shvuah. As a matter of fact, even the wife of the shomer would be able to take that shvuah, because, you know, women like to get involved in what their husbands are doing. Why, Rav Papa, how about somebody who's just working for the guy? He's a sliro, or he's a lakito, he's an itinerant picker, you know, a lucky, or he works in the house. Are they also considered to be neman in this? Take Ravash. Let's say that ta'ano b'kasa d'kaspa. How about if he says, oh, this guy stole a $10,000 beautiful silver becher, an antique silver becher. Is he believed? I mean, you're saying you can swear to anything. I mean, like, how far does this go? Says Ravashi, look, in cases like that, obviously it has to make sense. So we look into his financial situation. Hazina, Inish da Amidu, if this person has those kind of things in his house, and he actually, we estimate that he can afford that kind of thing, or it may well be it's not his, but it was stolen from him, because people bring him as a very reliable kind of person. Oh, Inish Behemanu, and people tend to bring expensive things to him to keep for them. The Mafkide Inish Gabe, so it's no different than anything else. If it's the type of thing that would be found in that house, he could be checked out. But if it's suspicious, say, well, where the heck would you get the money to get that kind of thing? Then, and he's not claiming that somebody gave it to him, or he's not the type of person that is trustworthy, so then he can't, obviously. It has to make sense. Okay, that's the end of item two. So we dealt with the Safir, and we dealt with the Nignab. Now, what about a Nechbal? That's the next case. So somebody claims he was attacked. How much is needed to back him up? So what's the case? So Omer Revyud Omer Shmuel, look, this, if the other guy says, look, you came in here, you were all angry, and you got so mad, you fell down the stairs, and now you're claiming that I beat you up, or even more. You know, you've got a whole deal of how it is you're going to get money out of me. You know, so you bring in a knife and you cut yourself and say, oh, he cut me, look at that. I mean, I don't know. So if the guy says you did this to yourself, so I'm reviewed to Amar Shmuel, this din that you have to swear, we're talking about the other way, the fact that you would have to take a shvuah is only where, in fact, he really could have done this to himself. But, I mean, if he couldn't have done it to himself, I'd say it's in a place. I mean, how could he have cut his back, you know? So then he takes it without even having to take a shvuah. What do you mean? There's no such thing as a place where you can't hurt yourself. I mean, you could rub your back against a sharp wall or something, or cut yourself and claim you were stabbed in the back. I mean, why not? The nefesh deal with the kotel. You'd always do something to yourself. Tony Rebbe, yeah. And how about if you've got teeth marks on your back as somebody bit you. How did you do that? I'd like to see you do that, right? So altalone, you've got a big bite mark right on your tire around your fat tummy. And how'd you bite that? Somebody must have bit you. So that you can actually claim without a shvuah. So, but I don't understand. I mean, you're claiming somebody did something to you. You don't have any witnesses. I mean, maybe it was somebody else who did it to you. Duma acharavit, right? Well, obviously, we're talking about a case where he went into a house. We have witnesses. There was no one else in that house. The leka achar. And therefore, it makes sense if I couldn't do it to myself that this guy do it. Leka achar. Okay. That's the next case. Now we've dealt with the Sakhir, and we've dealt with the Ganuv, and we've dealt with the Nechbal. And now the next case was Kinegdo Chashud Ala Shvu'ah. So this guy is supposed to be able to swear that he doesn't owe me money. He can't because he was known, it says in the Mishnah, to have lied about a Shvu'ah Eidos or about a Shvu'ah Pikadon. That's a strange thing. And even a Shvuah Shav, what do you mean even a Shvuah Shav? Why even a Shvuah Shav? I mean, I thought that Shvuah Shav was that really serious stuff. That's the one that it says in the Luchais when it talks about that. Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lo Shav, that was the Lo Yinakeh. I mean, what do you mean even? Doesn't make sense to me. I have Filu Shvuah Shav. Yes, because look, this is a Lomi boy. It's saying like this, not only in a case where you were found to have lied about a shvuah in cases of money. So in other words, you didn't care about not dealing properly with money, the pikkudon that was made, and an eidos for somebody else's money. So that involves money. So they were not going to believe you about a shvuah if you've got an argument about whether you owe money. You've already proven that you're a person who's not makpid on using a shvuah, even if it is going to hurt somebody monetarily illicitly. But even in this case, where, I mean, what's a shvuah shav? A shvuah shav is, I swear, something ridiculous. I swear that this is made out of gold and it's obviously monopoly money, whatever. So you'd say that that's Kfiras Dvarim B'Almo. I mean, that's just something that he's playing around. He's still not Neman, even in a serious courtroom battle, because he's shown that he doesn't have Akpada on the Shvuah. That's the point. It's not because you're not makbid about using a Shvuah against somebody else's money. It's that the Shvuah no longer has validity in having you swear because you're not a person who cares about a Shvuah. I'm just wondering about one thing. Now, I understand that now. But how come it doesn't mention a shvuah sheker? But why not mention a shvuah's bitui? Like, it's strange. If that's the case, I thought maybe that the idea was that it's only a type of shvuah, like you said, a shvuah's eid, a shvuah's pikadon. He's not trustworthy in a monetary dispute. Now I see that's not true because it says even if it's a shvuah shav. But then it's obviously even more powerful. I mean, if he would have made a shvuah sheker, so then that could be a shvuah's bitui. I am going to eat this piece of bread today, and he doesn't. Isn't that the same thing, right? No, it's not. Because the Mishnah is talking about where somebody makes a shvuah, when he makes the shvuah, it's a lie. The fact that a person makes a shvuah fully intending to do something and then he just can't get himself to do it, whatever it is, that's not the same choshed ala shvuah. He thought he was going to keep that shvuah. So ki katani, the Mishnah is including here shvuah dechika mishtaba b'shigra ka mishtaba. It's that at the moment that he makes it, it is the equivalent of that shvuah shav, which at the moment that you made, this is made out of gold when it's obviously made out of paper mache. That is the same thing over here. But at where he's made a shvuah's bitui, maybe he actually was saying completely the truth. I am going to do this. The bad we're not going to say. Wait, excuse me, sir, but did you forget that there's two different types of shvuah's bitui? Shvas Bitur La'atid and a Shvas Bitur La'avar. Not asking about a Shvas Bitur La'atid. I'm talking about a Shvas Bitur La'avar, which is, I did eat the cookie. I did not steal the cookie from the cookie jar. Whatever it is, that is a lie at the time that he said it, if it's L'shavar. I'm still asking you, why doesn't it say it? So over there, it still says Lokatani. Why? That's a chalti or lo chalti. Well, how are you going to answer that one? Well, I'll answer, because remember, shvashav, remember we used shvashav, the fact that it says lo yinakeh twice, lo yinakeh, lo yinakeh. We use shvashav to be essentially the same idea as a shvas bitui, even in terms of the Ramazim and the Pasid. Something in the past that was a lie is essentially shav when you said it. Right now, tomorrow, we will get to discuss the other questions about the Psule Dirabbanan, and we're getting close to the sad day when we have to say goodbye to Shavuos. Hey, Richie, better get a much bigger Bali Neder for the Hadron Halach, and I mean, we want to chazer that home is heaven. So you got a couple of days to prepare, Rich, and we'll see you then.